Our sermon this morning will come from the book of Malachi, a little prophet in the middle of the minor prophets towards the end of the Old Testament. And, you know, we live in a dark world. And if you don't believe that, if you haven't thought about that fact, it doesn't take long looking around our world to realize that we live in a world of darkness. I mean, after all, we are still in the middle of facing this global pandemic, and the deaths and the illnesses that take place not just from that, but from everything else on a daily basis. Then you just stop and you consider that in the midst of that pandemic, that we here in the United States, we were dealing with riots that lasted for 6 or more months. We look at the world news, and there are battles taking place around the world along with other civil unrest. We witnessed Friday night that, you know, nature takes a part and a toll as we hear about tornadoes hitting nursing homes or workplaces and killing people and leaving others injured. It's no wonder that as people, there are times we ask questions, as one author does in the title of the book when he says, "Where's God when we suffer?" Or another that asks, "If God, why evil?" In fact, I did a quick perusal of my library, and in my digital library, I found that there were 20 titles that I came across just very quickly, scanning titles for a couple of key words that I could look at and say dealt with pain and suffering. I know that in my library, in my office, that there are several more. I could think of 7 of them without giving it any thought. And there are more, I'm sure, that deal with the issue about darkness and how we deal with darkness. At Christmas, we would like to think that things are good. But what about when they're not? After all, we live in a world that while we might take a day off to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the world still goes on. People get sick on Christmas. People die on Christmas. Children are born with birth defects on Christmas. Accidents happen on Christmas. People's homes burn down on Christmas. We see the same thing on that particular day that we see the other 364 days of the year. While we like to believe that we are living in the darkest days of history, I'm reminded that likely we are not. There was a dark situation in the nations of Israel and Judah in the 8th century and then into the 7th century BC, and it only got darker. There was another dark situation in Judea from the mid-20s B.C. until the 70s A.D., including the time around the birth of Jesus, when Herod executed all the young boys in the area of Bethlehem. He killed his opponents in Jerusalem in mass, and likely killed many more in the area around Jericho just before his own death. And yes, we're in a dark situation in our world today. And if you want to turn to Malachi, which is where we're going to look this morning.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure. I think it's Micah. Thank you. I don't know why I said Malachi. Name just stuck in my head this morning. We're going to be in Micah, I hope. I hope I didn't mean Malachi and wrote typed Micah. That'd be weird. Almost as weird as saying them. But as we're going to be in Micah this morning, looking at the darkness that they experienced. You see, Micah was a prophet from the southern tribes, the southern nation of Judah. And he was preaching both to Judah and to the nation of Israel, to his north, in a time just before the ultimate destruction of the nation of Israel in the north, and a dark time for the nation of Judah. And this is what Micah writes. He says, "Hear this, you leaders of the house of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, who despise justice and distort all that is right, who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with wickedness. Her leaders judge for a bribe, her priests teach for a prize, and her prophets tell fortunes for money. Yet they lean upon the Lord and say, 'Is not the Lord among us? No disaster will overcome us or will come upon us.' Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble, the temple hill, mound overgrown with thickets." As I've been thinking through the prophets and thinking through especially this season and how we like to look for the hope, and we like to look for the good, and we like to see the lights that remind us of the birth of Jesus, I'm reminded that it isn't all good in this world that we live in. I'm reminded that dark things happen, and that's part of the message of the book of Micah. That's part of what Micah is saying to the people, is he's saying that dark things happen. And as we looked at those verses, as we read through those verses, and as I've read through the book of Micah time and time again over the past several weeks, I've come to see that while dark things happen, there are several reasons for the dark things that we experience. Now, Micah doesn't cover all of these. Because if you read through the book of Micah, you'll never find him saying or telling the people that there are times that you yourself caused the darkness that you experience. But as I was reading it, that's one of the things that I'm reminded of. Is that there are many times in life that we experience a dark time or we go through a dark situation. And if we're honest with ourselves, we've caused it on our own. We've done things that have brought the darkness. We have made decisions that have influenced the reality that we are living out of. And that those decisions bring darkness. There are other times that the darkness happens simply because there is sin in the world. It's not something that we did or a decision that we made or a decision of somebody else, but simply put, because Adam and Eve sinned and God put a curse on this earth and things are not the way that God completely intended for them to be originally, we suffer. And so we hear about people who get sick and die. We hear about children who are born with birth defects and There is nothing that they did or nothing their parents did. There is nothing that could have been done. It simply is a matter of the way life works in a fallen world. We hear about tornadoes that destroy people's livelihoods, or even worse, take their lives. We hear about other things that simply are a result of living in a fallen and broken and decaying world, where things don't happen the way that God intended for them to originally. And darkness is there. Then we get to the things that the prophet really is talking about, and we find that there are times that the darkness occurs because other people are sinning. And so you look at what the prophet Micah writes and what he's talking about, and the people he is talking to are people who are sinning against other people. And there are people that are suffering because of the actions of those that have power and authority. And they're making decisions, and they're making laws, and they're doing things that take away the light from people who need it. We didn't look at it, but if you go back, it talks about the fact that they're taking houses from the poor. They're subjugating women and orphans in order to carry out their own plans to benefit themselves. They're doing things that intentionally harm other people. And that's the major reason that the prophet Micah is speaking to the nations of Israel and Judah. Because they have gotten to a point where they are not concerned any longer with the way that God has called them to live. And so the prophet is saying that the darkness is here. And yes, we live in a dark time. And if you want to know the truth, people, it's because of the decisions that you have made to take advantage of other people. And the darkness also sometimes happens because God is judging a group of people. And sometimes others experience those results. And that's what the prophet Micah is saying. He's saying there is a darkness that is present today because you have done things that have brought the darkness about. He says, but soon there's coming a day when the darkness is going to be different. And that darkness is going to be because God is bringing judgment on people. And it's a two-part message. If you read the book of Micah, as well as the other prophets in the Old Testament, almost always their message is, this is what God is calling, or this is what God is going to do unless. The unless isn't always specifically stated, but it's always present in the message of the prophets because they're always building on the message of God from times past. And that message is that God will relent if you repent. He says, this is what's going to happen. And if you read on in the prophet of Micah, what you find is that there is coming a day when the Assyrian army is going to march against the nation of Israel and completely destroy or completely take captive the nation of Israel. And when Micah is prophesying, that time is very close. But he also is looking at the nation of Judah, and he's saying to them, yeah, they're coming to your door too, if you don't repent. Of course, Micah is prophesying about the same time as Isaiah, and Isaiah gets a much bigger billing on turning the people away from their sinful ways, especially the king Hezekiah. But Micah is speaking right alongside of Isaiah and calling the people to repent. And eventually, because Hezekiah and the people repent, God relents and the Assyrians leave. Not before causing a lot of darkness even in the nation of Judah, but here's the thing, we live in a world where dark things happen. Have you experienced that? If not, let me know how you've avoided that. But we live in a world where dark things happen, but the message of the book of Micah isn't doom and gloom. There's doom and gloom present, and Micah calls it out, and there is a warning for sure. But as I was reading the passage that we looked at this morning, one of the things that I noticed is this message is present too, that God knows. God knows that the darkness is in the world around us, and God knows the suffering that the people were going through. God is speaking in a major way through Micah to the leaders of the people, but the people themselves would hear the message, they would hear the prophecy, and God is speaking to them and saying, you know what? I know. I see what you are having to endure. I see what they're doing to you. And God would look at us today in the darkness and say, you know what? I know. I know what you're going through. I know the heartache that you're suffering. I know the pain that you're enduring. I know the difficulties of life that you are having to navigate. And you are not alone. You see, a lot of times we go into the darkness, and the darkness is problematic to us, not because of what's there, but because we think we're experiencing it alone. We think we're dealing with the darkness around us on our own, but the message of Micah, the same as several of the other minor prophets, is that God knows what you're going through. God doesn't just know what you're going through, but if God knows, part of what God is saying to the people is that He is going to act as well. It's one thing for somebody else to know something, but it's another for them to go through it with you. To walk beside you, to endure the pain and the anguish that you're enduring, and to go with you through the midst of it. Especially if there's somebody who knows the way through. And God is looking at the people of Judah and the people of Israel, and He's saying to them, I know and I will act. I will do something on your behalf. Now, God doesn't promise them that He's going to make everything perfect and things going to just turn around. But He says He'll be there to go through it with them, to protect. You know, we often hear the 23rd Psalm. When do we most often hear the 23rd Psalm? At a funeral. At a time of a funeral, we say words like, the Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He will be with me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That those are words not of removing all of the pain, not of removing all of the anguish, but of the fact that God knows and God goes through those times with us. And God is speaking to the people of Judah and the people of Israel and saying, You think things are dark, they're going to get worse, but know this. I know, and if you're my child, I will be there with you. And then there's the fact that God is going to bring judgment. God's going to bring judgment. You know, that's what we all want, right? We all want to see things made right. The unjust to be judged and made to pay for what they have done. And God looks at the people of Judah and the people of Israel, and he says through the prophet Micah that judgment is coming. It's going to look like the Assyrian army. And today he might look at us and say judgment is coming, and it might look like a lot of things, and I don't know what those are, but what I do know is that throughout the pages of Scripture, God says the same thing to us. He says through the prophet Micah, and that is that God will bring judgment in his time. In his time. You know, those people who were suffering because of what the leader, pardon me, the leaders and the well-to-do in the nations of Israel and Judah were doing to the people, those people who were being subjugated, who were having their lands confiscated, who were being put into a bondage, you know what they wanted? They wanted God to act on their behalf now. Right this minute, God, do something to make life better for us now. But through the prophet Micah, God is saying, hold on. I'll do it in my time. It's the message of many of the minor prophets and the major ones as well, the major writing prophets, but is that God is going to act in his time. God's time is not our time. I love Peter when he says, the Lord is not, the Lord is slow, but he's always on time. Because to him, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as a day. You know, we get impatient. Things don't happen quickly. Things don't happen on the timetable we set, and we get antsy, we get irritated, sometimes we begin to get a little angry. But as Micah is writing to the people of Judah and Israel, he's saying to them, yes, God is going to act, but it's going to be in his time. And the other side of that coin is not always a lot more encouraging, because it says he's going to act according to his wisdom. You see, we have a perception of the way things should be. We have an idea of justice. We have an idea of what is good and what is right. And often that is not wrong. But God doesn't always do things the way we want him to. Have you ever noticed that? We pray for healing and somebody gets sicker. We pray for peace and things seem to fall apart all the more. We ask God to act in our situation and he does. He just doesn't always do it the way we want him to. Because God knows more than we do. God knows more than we do about the situation that we're in. God knows more about the future than we will ever know. God knows his plan and his purpose, and we only get minor glimpses of what that plan and that purpose is. And so while we think that this is the way should be, things should be, God says, we could do it that way, but that's not what I have planned. That's not what's best in this situation. That's not what's right for the long term. And the people of Israel and the people of Judah were going to realize that God's plan for dealing with the sinfulness of the leaders and the well-to-do wasn't necessarily what they wanted. Because God brought punishment. God brought punishment through the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were known for brutality. They were known for humiliating the peoples they conquered. They weren't the people that you wanted to bring God's punishment or God's purposes. But yet God's wisdom, God's plan, God's purpose brought judgment. And as we look at that and reminded that God is going to bring judgment in His time according to His wisdom, but sometimes it's not now, but it's in eternity. Sometimes the judgment that God brings, sometimes God's making things right, sometimes God's dealing with the situations that we're going through, He doesn't do on this side of eternity. But He waits. He waits. And one day everything will be taken care of. And we don't have time. I would love to read all of Revelation chapter 20, 21, and 22. And maybe later, if you've got the opportunity, read those three chapters and be reminded that God is going to bring judgment. Not now, but, or He may bring judgment now, but ultimately He will bring judgment in eternity. And in the midst of those three chapters, John experiencing and sharing things, writes these words. He says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more crying or mourning, no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then He said, write this down, for these words are true and trustworthy." Now, we love that portion of this passage of Revelation. It's a promise to those who believe in God that He will reward us, and what we are rewarded with will be utterly amazing, and we will forget the pains of this life. But He goes on. He says, "He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Judgment. Judgment is coming. The prophet Micah was speaking to people who were being oppressed, who were being taken advantage of. And he was speaking to people who were oppressing and taking advantage of other people. And he says, God's judgment will come. The time of judgment, when God is fully prepared, he will bring judgment upon this nation. And while the message that Micah is giving to the people may not always be the message we want to hear in the darkness, it is a message that God makes consistently and makes consistently through the message of the prophets. And Micah is no different. I like the way that Glenn Pemberton says this in what is one of my favorite books on suffering. A book titled Hurting and Healing with God, Learning to Lament with the Psalms. He says, faith does not require us to ignore the scars or the losses. Even the resurrected Christ still had his wounds. Nor does faith promise memory erasure so that we can live and act as if nothing happened. Something has happened. Death in all its forms, abuse, pain, grief, rape, aggression, divorce. Nonetheless, in the rhythm of resurrections, God's work in our lives becomes part of our faith story and integral to our new language of thanksgiving. We live in a dark world and we face the darkness every day. Sometimes it knocks at our doors and we suffer because of it. But the message of Micah, the message of the minor prophets, the message of the Word of God is that even though we live in a dark world, he knows, he understands, and ultimately he will make things right. We have to believe that even when we cannot see things get better today, that the day is coming when God will make everything right. And we must be prepared and on his side when he comes again. That's the message of hope in the midst of darkness. Do you know the hope of the light that Jesus offers? We're singing one more song this morning. A song that we'll use to invite you to come and to meet the Savior if you need to, but also a song to call us all to the faith that is required to be prepared for the coming of our Savior. Let's stand as we sing together.